We're starting this new year, 2019, with a six-week visit about spirituality. We have provided some daily Bible reading guides. Hopefully you picked one up because we just concluded the first week's worth of reading, but that by no means means that you can't catch up or you can't proceed with us and participate with us. Just pick one up on your way out, or if you have an email subscription with us where we send these out each and every day, you'll get it that way as well. Spirituality. We're calling it a spiritual longing, what it means to really hunger and thirst after God. And it begs a question. The question is, how do you picture a spiritual person? We talk about spirituality, we use the word, but do we really understand what it means? And if we say, I have a spiritual side, what am I talking about? Or if I want to approach something in a spiritual way, what am I saying I want to do? What does a spiritual person look like? 29 of us spent last week in Israel, walking where Jesus walked. It's a great trip. We flew from here on the 27th day of December, left here, flew to Newark, New Jersey, laid over for several hours, then got on a plane that took us to Tel Aviv. It was a 10-hour flight. Flight was packed. It's a large plane. And I noticed, and I knew it was going to happen. I've been to Israel several times, and every time I go, this is what happens. About a certain hour into the flight, I'm not exactly sure when it was, but there's usually about 25 or 30 Orthodox Jewish men on the airplane. That much was the same as it's always been. They all get up at about the same time, and they take off their jacket. They put on a white kind of a robe, I guess is what I would call it. It just goes over them like a pullover shirt. They put a prayer shawl over their heads. And then they take a leather box and attach it to their forehead, tie it behind their head. It contains portions of Deuteronomy chapter 6, the Shema, the watchword of Judaism. Hear, O Lord, or O Israel, the Lord our God is one. That's the passage that says you're to love him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. They take leather straps and they wrap their arms tightly, almost to the point where you can tell it hurts. It's two obscure verses in Leviticus and Deuteronomy that they interpret to do this. The box has portions of scripture in it because it says to put God's word in your frontal lobe, on your forehead. They do it literally. To bind them around your arms, bind them around your lives. They do that literally. And then for about 20 minutes, they stand there and they recite prayers in Hebrew and they rock back and forth. Is that what a spiritual person is? Doesn't really strike me that way. It comes across to me, I don't mean to judge. Yeah, I do. I mean to judge. They're show-offs. I know they're dedicated, but it's though everything they're doing is a production. So that's not what I look at when I think of a spiritual person, nor is it someone who's beyond my reach. If you know of someone that you would call a very devout follower of Jesus, you would call them spiritual. And when you say that, what you're really saying is, no way I can ever be like that. No way I could ever reach that plane, wherever they are, whatever that level is of spirituality. We just talk ourselves out of it. And we come to the conclusion that we really don't know what it means to be spiritual, because certainly we don't want to show off about it. And we also don't want to come across like we're holier than thou than other people, though many times that's perhaps the way we come across. So what does it mean to be spiritual? Well, best place I can think of to go is guess, the Bible. And to talk to or to read about, to learn from probably the most spiritual person who ever lived. That's Jesus. It's over in the 13th chapter of John's Gospel where we're going to spend our time this morning, because it's in this passage where spirituality, where what it means to be spiritual is clearly defined. And it may be a surprise to you. Then again, it may be something you haven't thought about that you would agree with. Because spirituality is a characteristic. It is a mindset. It is a part of our lives. And we all should be pursuing what it means for each one of us. John chapter 13, beginning in verse 1. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come forth from God and was going back to God, got up from supper, laid aside his garments, and taking a towel, he girded himself. He poured water into a basin. He began to wash the disciples' feet, to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. So he came to Simon Peter, and Simon said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered and said, "What I do, you do not realize now, but you will understand hereafter." Peter said to him, "Never shall you wash my feet." Jesus answered, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." Simon then said to him, "Lord, then wash not only my feet, but my hands and my head." Jesus said, "He who has bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are not clean, and you are clean, but not all of you." For he knew the one who was betraying him. And for this reason he said, "Not all of you are clean." A spiritual person has a relationship with God, a relationship of confidence. If you go back to verse 3, what does it say about Jesus? It says, Jesus knew that God the Father had given to him all things. He knew where he came from. He knew where he was going. He knew that God had given to him what he needed to live his life. If there's anything to be said about what does it mean to be spiritual, it means that we understand and know that we have a confident relationship with God. Jesus did. Wasn't show off about it. He didn't come across as though you can never be on my level. As a matter of fact, he would do the very opposite, as we're going to find out here in a moment. But a spiritual person, if you're just going to go right to the source, to be spiritual, to define spirituality in an authentic way, is to recognize a person who has a confident relationship with God. They know the Lord. They understand his ways. Don't say they're perfect, but they had that relationship with the Lord. Now, there's a whole lot to be said about what exactly happened in this upper room. If you didn't know, this is the evening before Jesus is put on trial. This is the Last Supper, the time when that happened. John approaches it from a different perspective. I think he approached it so that we would understand what spirituality is really all about. There are some who take this passage quite literally. There are some who make it a part of their worship experience to literally wash one another's feet. On the Thursday before Easter, if you were to go to Jerusalem, the Greek Orthodox who have a portion of the holy site where the crucifixion and the tomb of Jesus supposedly is located, they do a literal foot washing of the Archbishop of the Greek Orthodox Church, and he will wash the feet of 12 Greek Orthodox priests before the people. Some churches practice this on a regular basis, much like we do bread and cup or believer's baptism. We, as a church, don't practice literal foot washing. One particular Easter week, I remember many years ago, we took shoe mitts and gave it to each one of us, and we went around polishing each other's shoes. It's about as close as we could come to get to it, to realize the significance and the meaning. And even with that, as trite as that sounds, it was a very humbling experience for someone to treat you with that kind of care and respect. You see, a spiritual person has confidence in the relationship with God, which then leads to the fact that a spiritual person models humility. If you truly want to know what it means to be spiritual, if you want to talk spiritual language, if we're to model what Jesus did here, what did he do? He modeled what it means to serve with humbleness. You see, it's not the act of service. It's not the fact that someone's feet were washed in this passage. But we all know what the real significance is, don't we? The real significance is it's the person performing this act of service that blows our mind. Can the Queen of England sweep a floor? She can do whatever she wants to. But if she comes to my house to sweep my floor, I'm going to feel real uncomfortable. Not because someone needs to sweep the floor or not, but it's the person who would come and do that on my behalf. It would be embarrassing. It would be out of character. It would be wrong. And that's the very point that Jesus is trying to make. As he, the Son of God, who is going to be the perfect, sinless Lamb of God within hours, as he is now to a cross to pay for our sinfulness, to gain for us eternal life. The living Son of God, who is the most spiritual man on the face of the earth, for he has a confident relationship with God. What does he do? He performs an act of service that everyone did, but for him to do it made no sense whatsoever. That's why Peter, of all people, we would expect it of him. That's why he misinterpreted. He didn't understand. Jesus said, you don't understand. Peter said, well, you're not going to do this. He couldn't imagine the Lord washing his feet. That's something that a servant does, not Jesus. Well, Peter, if I don't, you won't have any part with me. Well, then wash all of me. And Jesus teaches us that valuable lesson that once we're cleansed in salvation by the blood of Jesus, what do we need? We need forgiveness for daily living. We need the washing and the forgiveness of what we do, illustrated by the washing of one's feet. Jesus models humility. He picks up in verse 12 and he says, when he had washed their feet and taken his garments and reclined at table again, he asked them, do you know what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, for so I am. If then the Lord and the teacher washed your feet, you ought also to wash one another's feet. For I gave you an example that you should also do as I have done to you. Spiritual person, spirituality, defining it, it can't get much better than the model that Jesus gives us. And that model is one of humility. What does he say that we're to do? He says that we are to wash one another's feet. Later on in this chapter, we don't have time to get there, but around verse 30-something, he says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. A spiritual person is connected to God in Christ. And when you and I have that connection to God through Jesus, then we are equipped to wash one another's feet. You see, Jesus is saying, I have done this for you. I have served you. Now what I ask of you is to turn, now that you have been served, now that you have had your feet washed, I want you to turn and do it for someone else. That's the way it always has to be. Otherwise, spirituality is callous and shallow. But because we have been blessed, because we have been served, because God has forgiven us, because God has loved us, then we in turn serve others. Same plane we went on just week before last when we left. You know the drill. Sometimes they try to spice it up and give you all those rules and regulations with a brief video or Sometimes it's just the flight attendants that stand there and show you how to work a seatbelt and do this or that. But there's one thing, I don't know if you've caught this, they always talk about when, if the plane should lose pressure, what drops out of the ceiling? Oxygen masks. And what do they tell you to do? They tell you to, and they describe it, you take the oxygen mask and you put the elastic around your head, and then if you have a child with you, you put the mask on them. But they say, do not try to put it on the child first. Put yours on so that you in turn have the opportunity to put it on your child. Same thing here. We serve others. We wash one another's feet because we have been washed. Because God has blessed us. Because God has given to us the gift of salvation. And that should lead us to the spiritual life in serving others. And because we have been taken care of, I can then turn and do the same for others. Spiritual person is connected to God in Christ. A spiritual person, like we've said, is humble. Humility, you know, is that strange Bible word. It really means strength under control. That's really the heart of the matter. When you're a humble person, it doesn't mean you're weak. It doesn't mean you've lost your edge. It doesn't mean that you can't think. It doesn't mean that you have no opinion. When you're humble, it means that your mind, your heart, your speech, your actions are under the control of God. And you know, we've said it before, but of all the things that we try to do to be more spiritual that we can't do, we can't do the work of the Holy Spirit apart from the Holy Spirit. And many times we try to. But if there's ever one thing that God tells us to go after and to pursue it with all of our diligence, it's what? Humility. Humble yourself, the scripture says. Almost every time the concept is introduced, it's always humble yourself. God's saying, Stephen, go for it. Pursue it. Do whatever you need to do. Don't ever give up on it. I give you permission to seek humility. That's what Jesus does all the way through this passage. A spiritual person serves others. Robertson McQuilkin. You don't know him. The only reason you know his name is because I just told you. I didn't know him. Don't know him. But in the late 70s, he was president of the Columbia College and Seminary that's located in Columbia, South Carolina. Robertson noticed in around 1980 the deterioration of his wife's memory. It got to the point to where she had to be in constant care. And he writes, as painful as watching his wife lose her memory, lose the sense of knowing people, in the pain of what that did to him, he described his care for her as being one of the greatest joys of his life. Now, I'm not saying he thought this before she was stricken with this disease, but during, in the midst of, in the worst part of it, he served and he took care of the love of his life and considered it to be the blessing that God had given to him. Wasn't just a vow, though it certainly was. Because you see, a spiritual person serves others. Maybe you've heard of Henry Nouwen. Henry Nouwen is a Roman Catholic priest. that even though he's Roman Catholic, most of us that went through seminary have read something that he's written. He's written over 30 books. He's an amazing scholar, an amazing believer. He lectured at Notre Dame. He taught at Yale and Harvard. I mean, we're talking, you know, way up there in the echelon of brain power. But in the midst of all that, years ago, he quit to take the job of directing what is known as Daybreak. Daybreak is a ministry to mentally handicapped individuals. And their task, I want you to hear this, their task is not to try to make these people normal, but to help these people exercise their spiritual gifts. Did you hear that? You see, when you're spiritual, you understand the, I call it the great reversal, the eschatological, that means in the future, in the kingdom of God, the great reversal of all things. You think about it. What did Jesus say? If you want to be the greatest in God's kingdom, then be the servant of all. If you want to be first, then go to the back of the line. If you want to live, then you must first die. Which tells me when we get to eternity, those things, those individuals that are viewed in our culture and in our day as being disenfranchised, disconnected, out of it, are going to be the most beautiful in heaven. They're going to be the most intelligent in heaven. They're going to be the ones who receive the highest honor in heaven. And here you've got a man who had all kinds of lives to change because of the brain that God had given to him. And yet, he saw himself truly fulfilled in helping those who in our day and time are considered to be those that can't ever go past this point, who really can't ever communicate well. And his view was, I'm not here to manage them. I'm not here to make them as normal as possible. I'm here to help them express their love for God, the gifts that God has given to them. Because you see, truly spiritual people connected to God in Christ, who are humble, they all serve others. Which brings me to a final question. Are you a spiritual person? Are you? If you know Jesus, if you've put your life into his hands, if you've made that commitment to him, and the Bible says you are. But to develop that spiritual side of your life, to develop what true spirituality means, is a lifelong process. Modeled perfectly in Jesus. You know, this is a new year, which if you've been around here for a while means that we have a new benediction. At the end of every service in a given year, we put up on the screen a benediction. We've been doing it for years. Sometimes it's a Bible verse. Sometimes it's just like it's been this past year. It's been just several statements of faith and affirmation. Well, got a new one. It's right up here on the screen. It's Romans chapter 14, verse 19. This is our benediction. This is our focus at the end of every gathering here in the big room on every Lord's Day of 2019. It is to make this verse real in our lives. I want you to say it with me. Let us pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. Romans 14, 19. You have to say the citation as well. Try it again. Let us pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. Romans 14, 19. I want you to focus on one particular word. The whole verse is important. It's God's word. But the word pursue. Let us pursue. See, we've been talking about that all through Christmas. We've been talking about it even before Christmas. We're going to talk about it as we move into 2019. Because we have an opportunity through the fact that God has placed us here at 1251 Valley Ridge, Lewisville, Texas, 75077. To be a light to this community and beyond. To use our facilities, to use every single thing that we can, beginning with who we are, because we are the church, the people, to pursue not just these things that Paul talks about, he wrote it, but to think constantly about pursuing people who need the Lord. Are you a spiritual person? Let's develop the spiritual nature that God intends for us to be. Let's pursue it. And let's do it following Jesus. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to be in church, to catch a glimpse of who you are as we've been singing, as we open your word. Father, help us to be spiritual. Help us to understand what spirituality is all about. That it's not a foreign word. It's not something we should be afraid of or shy away from. Something that we should pursue. So we ask for guidance. We ask for your blessing upon our lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We wrap up this service like we do every time we gather. We offer an invitation. It's an opportunity for you and me to say yes to the claim of Jesus upon our lives. Sometimes decisions made during a time like this need to be made publicly. And so we'll have ministers and deacons standing here to receive any and all who would make those commitments. If you're here today and you've never asked Jesus to forgive you, to save you, you've never become a follower of Christ, call it get saved, call it converted, call it become a Christian. It's a choice, it's a prayer. And if that's the desire of your heart, then we ask you to come forward. Maybe that you need guidance. We're here to offer that. Can't make the choice for you. We can certainly guide and pray for you. So we invite you to come forward. If you're here today and you know the Lord, just never told him. Maybe you've never been baptized as a believer. Let's talk about that. Find out why it's important. Find a time when you can experience it. Maybe you're here today and the desire of your heart is to find a church, a place to belong. Can't think of a better time to join a church than a new year. Start things off right. How do you join a church like ours? You just come forward. That's the beginning. It's not all there is. And then when I think about and stumble over that word, spiritual or spirituality, I don't want to shy away from it. But we need to pursue it. We need to simply see how Jesus defined it, how he modeled it. And because he has done these things for us, we can in turn do them for others. So if that's what hit you today, then I want to ask you just to pray and ask God to help you develop your spiritual nature. You have it. And to do it together. That's our invitation. We stand, we sing, we wait for you here. As God leads, you respond.